Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
You know, the early church, they didn't call themselves Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. Christian was actually a term that was given to believers by the community. And basically, it was in Antioch. You can read the account in Acts chapter 13 that they began to, it says the non-believing world began to call the followers of Jesus Christians. And basically, it means Christ-like ones. They started to call them, because these guys are so much like Jesus, we're just going to call them, you know, baby Jesuses. And Christians. And that wasn't the term that they had for themselves, though. They actually had a different term for themselves. And the early church, when you were a follower of Jesus, they would call themselves, "I am a follower of the way. I'm a follower of the way." And that was how, you talk about church names, that was the name of the church, is they called themselves the followers of the way. And of course, Jesus made statements like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, that they identified themselves with a follower, not just of a person, but actually the followers of a way of living. It was a way of life. It was more than just a belief. It was embracing a whole life that came with it. And they recognized that to follow Jesus, they had to set aside a certain way of living, the way that they had lived before, and embrace a new way of living. Jesus wasn't just like pepper that you add to your meal and makes it better. It's like a whole brand new dish. Okay, it wasn't the best illustration. And you know, it's important. Sometimes the way we do things is just as important as what we're doing. The way we do certain things, if you're trying to romance someone special in your life, it's not just enough to walk in the door, toss some flowers on the counter, whip some chocolates at them and say, "There you go." The way you do it is as important as what you're doing. You know, you're reading poetry. "Oh, how I love thee, let me count the ways." You know, the way you do things, it's important. And the process is as important as the result in many cases. And I think when it comes to being followers of Jesus, I actually think the process is more important than the result. I think God is actually more interested in our journey than he is in our destination. We get destination focused. "Oh, when this is fixed in me, then I'll be better. Well, when this changes, then I'll be better." And God looks at us and says, "I want you to learn how to live the journey well. I want you to learn how to take this journey and enjoy the process of me working in your life." And so what Jesus did is he invited people to a different way of life, a different way of living. And it was a way that it actually had a title, it had a term, and he called it the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And you've heard, if you've been in church, if you've been in this church for the last little while, you've heard this term used a lot. And it's the kingdom of heaven. It's not like the puffy clouds where we'll all play harps one day. The kingdom of heaven is here and now. It's the reality of God making himself real in the lives of his people. And it's not something that you go to one day. It's something that begins to grow and influence in our lives every day and throughout our lives. And so the majority of what Jesus taught, if you read the accounts of Jesus' teaching, the majority of what he taught was how to experience this reality of the kingdom of heaven in our lives now. And most of the things that he taught dealt with our ways of thinking. They dealt with the ways that we dealt with others. They dealt with the ways that we process life. And he taught us how we can experience that reality of his kingdom in our lives. And, you know, Jesus did not come and try and make life harder. He did not come and try and make life harder for us. He actually came to make it easier. You know, living under the weight of sin is hard. Living under a weight of guilt, a weight of shame, having to make up for everything we've done wrong, that's hard. But that's not what Jesus proclaimed. And this is Matthew chapter 11. This is what he says. He says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." You'll learn to live freely and lightly. You know what? I'll be honest. Like, when growing up, I never associated following Jesus with living freely and lightly. I viewed it as, you know, to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to follow a whole bunch of rules. I'm going to have to, you know, basically suck the fun out of life and just have to follow these. But that's not what he invited us to. He says, "I want you to learn to live these," he called the unforced rhythms of grace. And, you know, if you've ever served, how many people have ever served? We had a very low turnout in the last meeting. How many have ever actually really, like, you know, surfboard, whether behind a boat or in the ocean? You know, it's surf, S-U-R-F, served. Yeah, surfed, yeah. You know what surfing, the whole thing about surfing, it's not about trying to get enough speed by paddling like a maniac so that you can stand up on the board. Surfing is about positioning yourself in such a way that you're able to harness the energy of the ocean or the energy of the wave, and it propels you forward. It's actually one of the coolest. It's a bit scary. The very first time you catch a wave, that a real wave, that you're on a board, and all of a sudden you feel that board start to shoot. It's not just like, oh, I'm going a little faster. It's like, holy smokes, I better hold on. And it starts moving quickly. And, you know, it's all, surfing actually isn't hard work at all. If you catch the right part of the wave, surfing's very easy. And it's, you know, there's lots of old people. Maybe I should put myself in that category now. There's lots of older people. You find senior citizens out on the waves all the time in these surfing places, because it's not the work is actually getting out to where the waves are. It can actually be a surprisingly large amount of work to get out there. But the success of surfing is positioning yourself in such a way that you're able to harness the energy of that wave. And the success, I just want to say, you know, the success of the Christian life is not in trying to keep all the rules and be perfect. The success in the Christian life comes from learning to position your life in such a way that the Spirit of God is able to propel you forward in your life. He's able to work in your heart. And these things called unforced rhythms of grace, where the Spirit of God moves us forward. And this really has to do with the way that we approach God. This has to do with the way that we try and live out our Christian. I'm kind of using the term way, you know, in quotes. The way that we approach God determines whether we are trying to paddle with all the strength and stand up by ourselves, or we're allowing God to fill our lives with his strength and his energy and move us forward out of a completely different place of strength. And, you know, if you've ever lived a certain way for a long time, sometimes changing our ways isn't always easy. In fact, changing our ways It can sometimes be some of the most challenging things that we do. But we know that if you ever have changed a way in your life, you know that that great results can come from doing that. And, if being physically healthy oftentimes means that we have to leave behind ways of living that are making us unhealthy. Being emotionally healthy means we have to leave behind ways of living that are leaving us emotionally unhealthy. And spiritually speaking, that if we're not spiritually healthy, we have to leave behind ways that are making us unhealthy. And, a lot of times a mistake that people make about church and thinking of what in terms of how they relate to church and to God is they think this is my spiritual life only. But it's not. God didn't create you just a spirit. He created you spirit, soul, and body. And these three things are connected. You can't can't disconnect one from the other. When you do something to one part of your life, whether it's spirit or soul or body, it will affect other parts of your life. Science has made links between diet and psychosis. Like there's the things that we eat actually affect the way that our soul processes, the way that our soul is, the way that our heart is. And so we believe, obviously, our spirit is important. And this is, our heart is important. This is, Proverbs says, guard your heart because, out of it issue all the, out of it come all the issues of life, out of your heart. So, and Jesus came, he dealt with our heart. He dealt with sin that affects our heart. But church isn't about heart only. It's actually about it's about our whole being. God's interested in your whole life. And, this threefold way of living, it's your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual health, these are all connected. And when you produce, you can change one and actually change another in the process. You can make changes to your physical life that will actually change your emotional life or your spiritual life. You make changes in your spiritual life that'll change your emotional life. You can make changes in your emotional life that'll end up changing your physical life. And so they're all interwoven. And we all have ways in all three of these areas that we've gotten used to living life. And it's these ways that God invites us to live in a way that's higher. Now, how many have ever heard of an elimination diet? No? Wow. Elimination diet is really interesting, and this is something if you're going to a doctor's, a lot of times when people are having some kind of physical problem that the doctors are having a really hard time kind of nailing down, or maybe it's your naturopath or dietitian or whatever it might be, they'll recommend you go on an elimination diet to see if what you're eating is affecting some area of your life. And so it's kind of a hit and miss process. It's not always one of these things that there's clear cut answers for, but what they'll do is take, for example, dairy, and they'll say, you know what, for the next 30 days, you're going to eat no dairy, and you're going to have to be good at reading labels because there's lactose and lots of stuff. So you just need to look at everything that you eat and anything that has dairy, you get rid of. And then you see, after 30 days, you see, what effect has this had on my life? What effect has this had on my body? And you kind of go down the list, whether it's sugar or flour. For some people, it's certain fruits or certain vegetables. There's things that you won't necessarily be able to figure out until you've actually eliminated them and to see how the result is. And, that's kind of one of these things that deals with the way that we live. And when it comes to our lives, sometimes it's a good idea that we just look at the ways of our life and go on an elimination diet. And sometimes it's, just what's our diet in our recreational time? What's our diet in our downtime? What are we consuming emotionally, spiritually, physically? I'm not just talking about we all need to give up dairy. I'm not giving up dairy. I'm talking about areas of our life that we've got a certain way of doing things. We've just never really thought about it. We just do it and we just live a certain way. And take that and remove it for a period of time and see what the effect is. See what happens if you eliminate media for 30 days in your life. Some of you just had a panic attack just now. It's like, is he going to ask us to do that right now? Because I'm going to quit the church if he does. I'm leaving if he says that. You know, just try it. See what happens. Let's try an elimination diet. You know what's interesting is sometimes the elimination diet is people go on it, but because they go on it, the recovery is really, it takes time for that nutrition or the whatever stuff to get out of your system. And so they don't really notice the recovery, but then on the reintroduction, it's like their body completely reacts to it. This is the way I was with flour. Is that I eliminated flour for 90 days, and it would have been over 2 years ago. I eliminated like all flour for like 90 days out of my life, and then I thought, well, you know, I feel a little better, and obviously you start losing weight because flour does that, but when I reintroduce flour, it's like I set a bomb off in my stomach, like. A bad bomb. Not a good bomb. A bad bomb. And then bombs went off in other places. I couldn't resist that. But you know, sometimes it's when you start reintroducing things in your life that you realize the negative effect that they had been having, but you weren't realizing how negative it had been. And it's that elimination, the eliminating of certain ways of our life, and then seeing how does this change my life? And so I want to talk about three things that we all have ways of living that we can look at changing for the better. First, our spirit, which is our foundation. Our spirit, you know, I believe that everything God does in our life starts in our spirit, in our heart, and that He transforms our heart, and then out of a transformed heart, our life transforms on the outside. And you know, the Christian life is not a commitment to the rules; it's always a commitment to the relationship, and that's. Our foundation is our connection with Christ. Our foundation is the building blocks of our faith is our connection to Christ. And you know you don't live in relationship by being committed to following the rules. When you're in relationship, you actually don't need to be told the rules of a relationship to live in relationship. You know, it's well, I gave you the flowers and chocolate. What's your problem? So we know that it doesn't, when you're committed to relationship, you will follow the rules automatically. You don't need to be given a list of rules. These are the 10 things you need to do every day to be in proper relationship with me. We follow them because our heart is there. And it's, you know, when it comes to the following Christ, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, the rules aren't what change you. We're not here to give you a list of the 10 things you need to do this week to be a good Christian so that Jesus will be happy with you and he won't cry in heaven over your life. It's when you're in relationship, you do the things that preserve relationship. When you're connected, and Jesus didn't just die so we could just have a place where we all got together to be committed to following the rules. In fact, it was the very, very opposite. They had lots of rules in Israel. They had over 7,000 rules in Israel. It was called the Law, the Book of the Law. And it was a ridiculously detailed rule book for your life. And Jesus, when he came, he didn't say you need to do all this. When he came to actually set us free from having to do all that. And this is the book of Galatians. This is a church. All of these books in the New Testament that have names like Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, these are actually all cities. These are all churches. They're cities or regions where they're all people that the author is addressing, that Paul is addressing, and he's addressing certain things that they're doing in their churches. And the Galatians, in Galatia, there was something very interesting happening in the church there, that all of these people became Christians, and they all became followers of Jesus. And then what happened is there was this group that came in, and they were called the Judaizers. And they were a group of people that said, Jesus is good and all, except you also need to do this, 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 and this. You still need to follow the Sabbath. You still need to get circumcised. You still need to, you know, go through ritual cleansing. In other words, Jesus isn't enough alone. Jesus isn't enough by himself. You still need to do all of these things to be holy. And so this is where Paul, he's angry. If you read this letter, the book of Galatians, it's a letter, and he's angry at this church for allowing these people in, these Judaizers. Yeah, he goes as far as to say, I wish they'd emasculate themselves. That's what it is, guys. Paul was P.O.'d with these guys. He was mad. And this is what he said. Galatians chapter 3, after he goes through, it's too much background to go into, but this is what's happening, is they're making people follow all these rules. And this is what Paul says. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses, these 7,000 rules? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? In other words, God just gave you this glorious gift of himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. And now you think by following rules, you're going to make yourself perfect? Now you think by following, by putting these rigid stipulations in place in your life? What he's saying is you don't know where the power doesn't come from following rules. The power comes from being connected to Christ. The power comes from being, the strength comes from being connected to Christ. Faith and belief are what brings strength. And what happens is when we start focusing on rules, or we start focusing on behavior, or we start focusing on what's sin and what's not sin, what happens is we start to get self-focused instead of God-focused, instead of Spirit-focused. We start to use, instead of using the life of Christ as our motivator or as our strength, we start using the strength of guilt and resolution to try and take ourselves forward. And guilt and resolution can work for a short term, for a short period of time, but guilt and resolution can't change your heart. Christ changes our heart, and then that changes the way we live. Sometimes our own efforts can be our own worst enemy, because they can take us out of relationship with God and put us in a place where all we're actually doing is just focusing on ourselves and not God. It's about Christ awareness, not self-awareness. The second area is our soul. And our soul, that's our environment. That's the way we connect with others. Our soul is, you know, our mind, our will, our emotions. It comes a lot from what we're connected to. It comes a lot from what we're intentionally, the atmospheres or the way that we're connecting to others. And, you know, we're a product of our environment. We are what we're connected to. That's why it's very important. We're careful with what we connect to. You know that you're more likely, in an exercise program, you're more likely to stick with one if you do it with a friend. They just, They just know this. This is stats prove you're more likely. You know, that every area of life is like that. Whether it's your emotional diet, whether it's your spiritual diet, any area of your life, if you want to see change in that area, you are more likely to change in that area if you make that change with others. You do that in the context of relationship with others. We say this every week here, is you can't live the Christian life alone and isolated. You can't do it. In fact, of all the things that when God looked at man, he said, it's not good that man's alone. If you're by yourself, you know, Ecclesiastes says, woe to him who falls by himself, for there's nobody to pick him up. You know, there's connections change us. Connections strengthen us. How many of you ever tried something that you would have not tried because you had a friend who was passionate about it and said, hey, you need to try this? And you're just like, but I don't want to jump off a cliff. But it's fun. It's so fun. You got to try jumping off a cliff. And eventually somebody talked you into jumping off a cliff. You know, there's so many things that passion's contagious. And if you find that passion is starting to drop out of your own heart in an area, you know, sometimes the best thing you can do is go get around people who are passionate about it again. Get around people who have energy in that area of their lives. What happens when we connect? Our ways made more complete. You know, when we connect with others, our rough edges get smoothed out. Jesus will send sandpaper to your life. He will. He'll send people that will be sandpaper in your life. You know, as Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron. You know, God will put people in your life that will sharpen you, will dull down your edges. But I'll tell you something else, that through your relationship with God will be complete. It will be complete. James says you can't love God who you can't see if you can't love your brother or your sister who you can see. In other words, there's a part about learning to love each other. It actually teaches us how to love God. Teaches us how to love completely. And then the last area is our body, our routines, our diet, our exercise. These are the third area of the way that we live. Is we've looked at spirit, we've looked at soul, and this is our body, our routine, our routines, our diet, our exercise, and in this is our rest. And if you've ever been in a workout program, you know, one of the things that they will tell you is you have to program rest into your routines. Because when you get excited about working out, you don't ever want to take a break from it. You keep going. It's you know, the crazy factor kicks in, and you want to work out every day, and because you just get a little nuts about it. But you actually need to rest. You need all three. And so diet, exercise, and rest. When it comes to physical health, we know that these are vital. We know that if we eat a bag of chips and a jug of ice cream, we know that our motivation levels later might be lacking. You're not going to feel like going for a jog afterwards. You're just going to feel like visiting a certain room in your home. We all have diet. We all have diet. We all have things in our life that we're consuming spiritually, emotionally, physically. We all have diet. We all have these things. And you know what? Sometimes what we're consuming, others can figure out what our diet is based on what's showing up in our life. Others know what you're eating. I worked with a guy who every Wednesday night, he would go for wings and beer. And on the job site the next day, it's like, you went for wings and beer last night, didn't you? Why, yes, I did. Yes, I can tell, because there are waves of thunder coming through and they don't smell very good. what's in our diet shows up around us. It creates an atmosphere around us. literally, sometimes a haze of atmosphere. In our spiritual life, our emotional life, what we're dieting on matters. What we're dieting on matters. If we binge on Facebook and Netflix, we binge on all the news of what's going on around the world, I'm going to tell you right now, your emotional life's going to suffer from that. Your heart's going to suffer from that. Because the way of life isn't in the world. The way of life is in Christ. He came to set us free from the sin and death of the world around us. He came to set us free from the brokenness around us. I'm out of time, so I'm skipping some stuff here. You know, it's interesting. The first thing that Jesus said in Matthew 11, when he said, those who are anxious, those who are burdened, you know, come to me, those who are anxious, those who are burdened, those who are weary, those who are worn out, those who are tired, come to me. And the first thing he said is, he didn't say, I will give you a 3-point plan for overcoming sin. I will give you fresh resolve. He didn't say, I'll give you renewed purpose. Although a lot of times that's what we're looking for. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. And not just any kind of rest, but he said, I will give you rest for your soul. That inward part of your being where everything comes from. He says, I'll give you rest for your soul. He didn't say, I'll give you a list of rules to follow that'll make you successful. He said, I'll give you rest for your soul. You know, I find it interesting, the very first thing that he says that he'll do to those in the situation is bring them to a place of peace. Bring them to a place of rest. Bring them to a place of health and wholeness. You know, I think today it's no different. Sometimes we get, you know, caught up in the busyness of life. We strive, we try, we look for 3 points for this or 3 points for that. But I think sometimes God wants to just say, just be calm. And let me bring rest to your soul. Let me bring rest to your spirit. Let me get you strong in the place that'll affect everything else. So that you can live from a place of strength from there. And I'd invite you, let's stand up. And I want to just lead us in a prayer. And maybe you're here and you're in this situation and you're thinking, you know what, I've got a lot of striving going on in my life. I've got a lot of things that internally aren't right. I want to tell you right now, the first thing that God wants to do in your heart, in your life, is bring you to a place of peace, bring you to a place of rest. And that comes from one thing and one thing only. That comes from being connected to Christ. That comes from our connection to Him. And I want to just lead us in a prayer. And you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I need to pray that. I need that rest in my life. You can just join us as we pray together. Let's pray. Jesus, I need your rest. I come to you and I trust you with my life. I trust you with my heart. I don't want to try to save myself. I don't want to try to do everything perfectly. But I receive your grace. I receive your life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your strength now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome, you guys.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.